You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba. When people think of the Maltese connection to San Francisco, the first thing that may come to mind is a famous piece of literature and the movie that followed.
The stuff that dreams are made of.
Huh?
That was a clip from the 1941 movie The Maltese Falcon. It's set in San Francisco and based on the pursuit of a black bird statue that was stolen from Malta. But there's another, less familiar connection. It's that hundreds of people from Malta relocated to San Francisco's Portola neighborhood. KLW's Greer McVeigh talked with several Maltese immigrants who work, live, and play in the neighborhood.
If you walk down San Bruno Avenue in the Portola neighborhood, you'll notice an orange building sitting in the shadow of the Avenue Theater. Right now, it's a round table pizza. However, more than 60 years ago, this building was the Melita Furniture Store.
Melita was the Phoenician name of the island of Malta. It drew about 100% or 80% of the Maltese community.
That's Barbara Finnich. She worked at the store with her sister Margie for more than 30 years. Their dad, a first-generation Maltese, owned it.
A small shop selling, would you believe this, radios, toasters, irons, just small appliances.
Finnich's parents immigrated to the Portola from Malta in the early 1900s with hundreds of other families who flocked to San Francisco after World War I. Many of them settled in the Portola and opened businesses, like the Finnich's Furniture Store and the Spiteri Ice Skate Boot Factory.
Wait, stop coughing.
Yeah, and sit down.
Barbara and Margie Finnich and their friends like to gather at each other's homes to reminisce about this time, the good old days, growing up and working on San Bruno Avenue, what they used to call the Boulevard.
My sister Margie would work 5 days a week at the shop.
Answer the phone, do the billing, dust the furniture, wash the bathrooms, sweep the floor. You name it, I did it.
And then I would go in on Saturday and just like my sister said, you know, sweep up, move the furniture around.
The tight-knit community of Maltese immigrants built a thriving neighborhood that endured two world wars. But everything wasn't always great. Like any other ethnic group migrating to America, the Maltese sometimes felt like outsiders in their new country.
I think at the time that my parents came, there wasn't this problem of immigrants coming in. But when they got here to San Francisco, they were taunted to a point.
She remembers her dad telling her a story about how some people would mock him because he was Maltese.
They'd pass him and they'd go, meow, 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 like a Maltese cat.
People immigrated from Malta for many of the same reasons they'd migrate from anywhere. They were looking for opportunity, connecting with family, and wanted to share in the American dream.
There weren't too many jobs in Malta, so they were emigrating out of Malta. A lot of them came to the United States, Canada.
That's Brian Chaparra. He's the president of the Maltese American Social Club. The club used to be located in the Portola. Now they're just down the street in San Bruno. He says in those days, coming to America wasn't that difficult. And fitting in was quite easy for the Maltese because they had a community eager to embrace them.
And we are a people that kind of try and keep an eye on each other and help as much as we can each other.
There was and still is support from the Maltese consulate, which was originally located in the heart of the Portola. It's one of only a handful in the country. Louis Vella is the current Maltese consul general. He describes how the consulate was established in 1967 after the Maltese prime minister visited the Portola and met with a community.
Prime Minister of Malta came, he kind of noticed that there was a very nice Maltese community here. Many of them were very, very connected still with Malta and the old country.
So when the prime minister went back to Malta, he suggested they form a consulate in the Portola. It's been helping people find living arrangements and jobs and helping with their passports and immigration ever since. In the early 1950s, the Bayshore Freeway was built, linking San Francisco to Highway 101. But that changed everything. It made getting to the San Francisco airport easier and linked the city with the South Bay. But the highway cut right through the middle of the Portola. Barbara Finnich remembers.
Well, the freeway sort of divided San Bruno Avenue.
Not only did it cut off traffic that had previously made stops in town for gas, lunch, and other business needs, it also separated San Bruno Avenue from Bayshore Avenue, creating two distinct communities.
They would just zoom by and forget all about San Bruno Avenue. It was kind of a trauma for us. Many of the businesses were closed, and then, you know, it started to get boarded up.
As a result, many of the locals from the Maltese community moved south for new opportunities. But families like Barbara's stayed and reinvented themselves. And all these years later, Barbara Finich continues to focus her attention on improving the neighborhood for everybody. She's an active member in the Portola Neighborhood Association.
And I've been involved with that, probably over 15 years. And it's from one thing to another. We were able to get underground lighting. We have a new public library.
They've put new lights on San Bruno Avenue and are currently renovating the old Avenue Theater. With neighborhood preservation moving forward, Barbara can now add Maltese preservation back onto her agenda.
Our job the last 2 or 3 years is to contact the immigrants that came to the Bay Area after the Second World War and find out, you know, like what village they came from. Why did they come to the Portola district? Why did they come to San Francisco? And we're making up a book or something to keep that in the archives for the Maltese history.
They're also helping the older generation stay in this neighborhood.
There's a lot of older Maltese people who husbands have passed away or they don't know how to drive. So we're forming an organization where somebody can pick them up, take them shopping, take them to, say, the Maltese Club for whatever function we have, or to church.
Through it all, the Maltese community has persevered. This group that immigrated in large numbers following World War I have banded together to do things to keep their culture alive in this small neighborhood for as long as they can. Things, as Sam Spade in The Maltese Falcon says, that dreams are made of. For Cross Currents, I'm Greer McVeigh.